want to continue with the discussion about the Lord's Prayer and talk today about the petition, "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." For us to be able to pray that petition, we have to understand what it means and believe that it applies to us. In the early church, there was a group of people who were of the opinion that after baptism, there was no repentance. They basically had a very high view of what the Christian life should be, which is not in and of itself wrong, that a Christian should live a holy life. And if someone was to fall into a sin, that basically they were out of luck at that point because there was no further opportunity for them to repent. And that's one of the reasons why some people in the early church put off baptism until late in life, because basically they didn't want to extend that period of their life in which they would have to contend with that possibility. And in many cases, they put it off to the very last minute. But the fact of the matter is, the Lord taught his disciples to pray this prayer, and so obviously it does apply to Christians, and there is repentance, and there is forgiveness. Otherwise, he wouldn't ask us to ask for it. St. John the Apostle says, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." So even if one were to achieve sanctity in this life, like unto one of the great saints, like say St. Seraphim of Sarov or St. Nicholas or whoever you want to name, even those saints, while we in the Orthodox Church do believe that it's possible for someone to reach the point in life in which they cease to continue to commit willful sins, there are still, even for those people, the sins of ignorance that need to be forgiven. And of course, we always, you know, have the sins that we've committed in the past before we repented that we need to continue to ask God to be merciful for, being assured that he will be, because he tells us that he will be. In our time, however, I would say that we probably have a lot fewer people who have such a highly exalted view of the Christian life and don't believe that God would forgive sins after baptism. It's much more likely that the problem we have is that people take a very cavalier attitude towards sin and presume upon God's forgiveness, and very often don't really think of themselves as being in any need of repentance because they don't think they have any sins. They compare themselves to the people around them and they think, well, you know, I don't steal from people, I don't murder anyone, I haven't committed adultery, I'm not a bad person, so I really don't have anything that I need to repent of. It's never happened to me, thankfully, but I've heard it from enough priests that it's not unheard of for people to come to confession after years of not having gone to confession and to stand in front of the priest and say, well, I really don't have anything to confess. Well, it's not that they really don't have anything to confess, it's that they're ignorant of what it is that they have to confess because they've become very desensitized for their own sins. The Eskimos are said to have some number of words for snow. I think it's like 5 or maybe 7 words for snow. And why is that? Well, if you're an Eskimo and you live in a world that's covered with snow all the time, after a while you start to see the fine distinctions in snow that we wouldn't notice. And if you lived around the equator, you might not even have a word that distinguished between snow and hail, because it's not likely that you would ever see anything but hail, and so you would make even fewer distinctions than we would make. Well, in Hebrew, there is something in the neighborhood of about 10 words that are translated as some variant of sin, and that's because the people of the Old Testament were very sensitive to the whole issue of sin, and they understood that there are nuances in sins. We sometimes hear particularly Protestants say, well, sin is sin. You can go to hell for lying just as fast as you can for stealing. Well, that may be true that you can go to hell just as fast, but it doesn't mean that all sins are equal. And certainly the scriptures themselves make a distinction between sins of ignorance and sins of intention. And I won't go into all the Hebrew words for sin today, but I wanted to talk a little bit about the words that you find in the New Testament and then talk about the word that we find in this petition. There are 5 Greek words that refer to sin in the New Testament. The first one is amartia, which means to miss the mark. It's sort of the image of someone shooting at a target and missing it. And so sin is when we fail to do that which we're supposed to do. We're not reaching the target. We know we're supposed to do it, but we fail to do it. In the 19th century, there was a man by the name of Simon Legris, and he was a very brilliant young man, but unfortunately, he had this great potential and he never did anything about it. It was such a remarkable thing that someone bothered to record it. But it was said of him when he was young, he will do something great. And then later on in life, people started to say he could do something if he wanted to. And then at a certain point, towards the end of his life, people started to say he might have done something had he wished to. And that's somebody who failed to live up to their potential. And can any of us, as Christians, say that we've done everything that we could do as believers, and we really grabbed a hold of all the truths of Scripture and made them our own and tried to live the best possible Christian lives that we could? Well, probably not. And so to the extent that we failed to do that which we could have done, we are guilty of sin. Another word is parabasis, which means stepping across. And the imagery there is there's a line between right and wrong, and when you step over that line, you've committed that sin. That's a transgression. We may have most of our lives stayed on the right side of that line, but at least occasionally I would venture to say that most of us have at least stepped our toe on the other side of that line on occasion. Another word is periptoma, which is slipping across, which the imagery there is a little less intentional than the other word, but it's the imagery of someone who's on a slippery surface and then slips and falls. Well, more often than not, when it comes to sin, we put ourselves on that slippery surface. We put ourselves in a situation that we probably shouldn't have, and then, whoops, we slip, and then we fall, and we've fallen into sin. The fourth word is anomia, which means lawlessness. A meaning not, and nomia meaning law, so there's no law here. And that's the sin of someone who knows what's right, and yet does what's wrong. You know, it's not a question of you didn't know what you were doing. It's not a sin of ignorance. It's an intentional sin. And perhaps we haven't committed any of the really big ones like murder or adultery, but Christ tells us that any time we have lusted in our heart, we've committed adultery. Any time we hate our brother, we've committed murder in our heart. So even if we fail to do the big sins and the obvious sins, we've at least not lived up to the commandments in the spiritual sense. In the presence of a holy God, all of our sins, all of our righteousness are as filthy rags, the prophet Isaiah tells us. The final word is the word you find in the Lord's Prayer. It's ophelima, and it means debt. And the imagery here is really, it doesn't talk about the nature of the sin so much as what our relationship is to the sin and how it affects our relationship with God and with other people. And we owe a debt to God anytime we have committed a sin, because God expects us to live a holy life. He expects us not to sin because he told us not to. And so when we do sin, we accrue a debt in this imagery. But also, when people sin against us, or if we sin against other people, we either accrue a debt, or someone may have accrued a debt to us because they've done something wrong to us. But what does this petition say? It says, "Forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors." It's a very simple thing for us to be forgiven. God is very merciful. He's more than willing to forgive us when we repent. But Christ tells us, "For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged, and with what measure you use, it will be measured back to you." We have the opportunity to sort of write our own ticket spiritually, and we are on the day of judgment, we can determine how that's going to go for us by how we judge other people and how we forgive other people. If when someone does wrong to us, if our attitude is, "Well, I don't think they've really repented. I don't think they're really sorry. They may tell me that they're sorry, but they're going to just go and do it again, so I'm not going to forgive them." Well, if that's the attitude that we take, when we say this prayer, we're asking God to look at us and to say, well, they're probably going to do it again. I don't really know that they're really sincere, so I'm not going to forgive them either. So let us recognize our sin. Let's not be ignorant of the fact that we are sinners. We even if we're great saints, we nevertheless sin in ways that we're ignorant of. We may not be aware of it. We offend people, and we may become aware of it down the road, but we weren't aware of it at the time. We fail to do things that we just simply forget about. And in most cases, we also do things that we know better about. We commit sins that we have every reason to have avoided had we simply chosen to, and we failed to do it. So we need to be aware of the fact that we do sin. But if we truly repent and we ask for God's forgiveness, and we also forgive those who have offended us, and we judge them the way that we want to be judged, and we're therefore merciful, and remember the Beatitude that says that that those who are merciful will obtain mercy, then we, on the day of judgment, will also obtain mercy. We will obtain the forgiveness of our sins against God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.